Good morning. It's good to see everyone as always. This is always an honour and a privilege to do this. I love it. It's challenging at times, but I do like it. It causes me to depend on Jesus. And I love to depend on Jesus because it's really easy to always depend on Jesus. So Jesus, I'll just echo Ray's prayer, Lord. It's you we want to focus on this morning. Lord, I pray that you would enlighten our hearts as to how you are the one who empowers us. It's you in whom we take refuge. It's you we turn to, Lord. And we turn to you right now, Lord, and I just pray your Spirit would warm our hearts. In Jesus' name. Amen. So over the summer, we've decided to talk about some free topics. And so what I've decided to do is talk about something that's been close to my heart for a while. And I feel the Lord has impressed on my heart. And I feel the Lord is working into us as a body of believers. And that's something called church culture. Church culture. I believe God is calling us to explore church culture. Now, when we talk about church, we're talking about you and I. Like, we are the church. And there are various things that we can talk about that, but for the context of what I'm trying to communicate this morning and in the coming weeks, every time I preach, I'm going to be talking about this over the summer, is that when we talk about the church, we're talking about you and me and God's family. Now obviously, we have a church building, we have amazing resources, and I think there's significance in places and buildings, but what we're talking about is us as people. Now, Peter writes, "You also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So Peter is saying that you and I, we are like living stones. We are people who are representing, and we are the church. So if you brought a guest to church, you'd say, "This is my church." They would obviously look at the building, but they'd also look at you and me. They'd look at us as people. And so that's what I mean when I talk about church. It's us as people. And church culture, it's how we as God's people do what we do. It's how we do what we do. As an example, if you look at a secular organisation, that organisation will have a set of values and behaviours that are expected when you belong to that organisation. And there's a motivational speaker called Danny Cox who says, "Success is knowing what your values are and living in a way consistent with your values." Now, I don't know whether he's a Christian or not, but there's something in that. I'm sure we can all relate to that. If we've ever been in the workplace, you go to work and there's a certain set of values that they're expected of you. And actually, as God's people, as the church, there is a certain set of cultural values that God expects us to engage in. But we have a secret, something that's different to an organisation. We are not a normal organisation. We're not really an organisation. We're a family. And we are a family, but there are certain values that God expects us to engage in. But this secret is, as Paul writes in Romans 8:9, you, that's us as the church, the people of God, are not in the realm of the flesh, but you are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, the Spirit of God lives in you. And I want to talk this morning about how us as a people, as a church, God is calling us to depend on Him. And as we depend on Him, this is the secret, He will Himself perform through us what He expects of us. This is the wonderful mystery of walking in the Spirit, life in the Spirit, as we depend on Him, He will Himself perform through us what He expects of us. And this is going to start making sense, if it isn't already. Because life as a disciple of Jesus Christ in the Holy Spirit is not a life trying to behave as God expects us to behave. Life as a disciple of Jesus in the Holy Spirit is not a life trying to behave as God expects us to behave. Life in the Spirit is a life of yielding and surrendering and having that as the position of your heart to God Himself, and He will Himself perform through us what He expects of us. And our partnering with God is our yielding and surrendering to Him. As we read in the psalm, that was so apt for this morning, I felt, because the psalmist was saying how his eyes are ever before the Lord. And that's what we're talking about. Our focus is always on Jesus. Our hearts are always yielding to Him, surrendering to Him. It's a position of our heart. And when our hearts position ourselves before the Lord in a place of surrender and yielding and humility and remaining in that place, the Spirit of God enables us to do that. And through that yielding, the Spirit of God actually performs what He expects of us through us. So again, we're not coming to church and we're trying to love and we're trying to accept and we're trying to forgive. It's not that. It's a yielding, and the Spirit Himself causes us to love others in partnership with our yielding. The scriptures say, unless the Lord builds the house, the labourers labour in vain. So as we're yielding to Him, we're allowing Him to build us up and His church. We're allowing Him to do it, because if we do it trying to do it, we will labour in vain. Because we have to ask ourselves, what kind of people are we going to be as Christians? Not only when we come to church on Sunday, but what kind of people does God want us to be when no one is looking? So I just want to engage this morning. What does God expect of us? So I've just said that God is going to perform something through us in partnership with our yielding. And what is that thing going to be? What does He expect of us? In Scripture, we have time and time again the phrases each other and one another. There are loads of, I think it's well over 50, many each others and one another's. For example, we are called to honour one another above ourselves, live in harmony with one another, stop passing judgment on one another, instruct one another, greet one another, agree with one another, serve one another, bear with one another, be kind and compassionate to one another, speak to one another in psalms, hymns and spiritual songs. We've done that this morning. Submit to one another. Teach one another. Spur one another on. Not slandering one another. Living in harmony with one another. Offering hospitality to one another. Clothing yourselves in humility toward one another. Having fellowship with one another. Being at peace with one another. Having equal concern for each other. Not being conceited, provoking and envying each other. Carrying each other's burdens. Loving each other. Accepting each other. Forgiving each other. Counselling each other and encouraging each other. They're just some of them. I hope you wrote all those down. But the point is, there is a lot of one another's and each other's in Scripture. And we could easily look at what God is expecting of us as a church and say, well, after all those one another's, all those one another's, we could look at those and say, my goodness, we've got a lot of work to do. We're going to have to roll our sleeves up and we're going to have to get going with this thing, because there's a lot of expectation of how God expects us to behave and to be. And you're thinking, we're going to have to ramp up the effort. But the truth is, you and I, we are not able to perform what God expects of us without God Himself. We're not able to do what God calls us to do without God. And I really pray this morning that any burdens that you have trying to behave as God does expect you to behave are lifted when you discover that it's through yielding that the Spirit performs those in partnership with you. And He actually begins to change you as a person. Whereas you are not trying to love, you're becoming love. And so all the glorious attributes of patience and kindness that comes through love just is you. You're not trying to be patient. You're love. So you just are patient. You're not trying to be forgiving. I've got to forgive them. I've got to forgive them. I've got to forgive them. If you're struggling with forgiveness, you're not forgiving. And we're going to get into it. Yielding to His forgiveness of us is the actual empowerment for us to not try and forgive. We just are forgiving. We are a forgiver. That's just who we are. Now, does this mean we don't have any responsibilities? Of course not. But our responsibilities are fueled by Him. So things like discipline turn into enticement. You are going into God and looking at God because you're drawn to Him, you're enticed. And all of a sudden, you're living a disciplined life. Because the Holy Spirit actually changes your heart to want to do what is right. And so you desire to do what is right through God. And so you're not trying to do what's right through yielding and surrendering to Jesus as a lifestyle of worship, not just praise and worship, that's an amazing thing, but just your whole life perspective is yielding to Him. And He performs it through you. That is our job, is to yield. That's why Jesus says, if you don't abide in me, you can't do anything. We need to yield, and He actually, the living Christ, works through us. Our sense of responsibility becomes light because His desires become our desires. And so we end up fulfilling our responsibility without thinking, I've got to fulfill my responsibility. I've got to fulfill my responsibility. I've got to fulfill my responsibility as a Christian. I've got lots of responsibilities as a Christian. But you yield to Him and you find out what His desires are. And you abide and remain in that place. And you actually find the Spirit works through you, fulfilling His desires through you. It becomes effortless to behave as God expects you to behave when you yield to the potter. He is forming us. We are the clay. He is the potter. Can you imagine the pot being formed, saying, I've got to really try hard now, I've got to become a shape, I've got to become a shape, quick, got to do this, I'm supposed to be a pot, come on. It's just not going to happen. I mean, pots don't talk, that's not going to happen. But you know what I mean. So God is just moulding us. It's like, you are the potter, I am the clay. Do you remember that song? Oh, that's amazing. You should watch The Donut Man. It's amazing. That's a great version. Now, what I've done is I've prayerfully chosen five each others for us to look at over the summer. And I believe the Lord Himself is going to work through this. And when I say I prayerfully chose, I quite often go for a walk on Kersal Wetlands, which used to be Manchester Racecourse. It's around the back of our house. And I just remember one morning just walking around there, just walking with Jesus and getting myself set up for the day. And I remember walking, I was thinking about these each others and reading about church culture and setting a course for a church and things like that, and about how important church culture is. And I just felt the Lord drop these five on me. I was just, all of a sudden, it was effortless for me to talk about these five. And it just became, I was like, this is the Lord. And it just felt, I started to get excited that we're going to start talking about these things. And that often when it's effortless, it's the Lord. Because it's really hard work. It's probably my idea. I've got to get my vision. I've got to get my culture. I've got to do this. It's like, no, step back. And let me breathe my cultural values, my expectations through you guys. And those five I've chosen are love, accept, encourage, counsel, and forgive. Love, accept, encourage, counsel, and forgive. And you may have noticed in the foyer and in the youth hall, I've made some little posters with a frame on it. And that is like the beginnings of just bringing a biblical culture into the place. Now's the time to tell you, I'm not saying there wasn't a biblical culture beforehand. Okay, there's been a biblical culture here for over 100 years in this fellowship. But I just felt the Lord saying He wants to emphasize, like a re-emphasis, there's power in re-emphasis. And just bring, if we could easily go over the 50 plus each other's. But we'll get overwhelmed and drowned in it. So we've just chosen five here. And actually, I was going to put a thing on the screen, but I couldn't get technology to work. So I'm going to hand something out here to everybody. This is for every home, okay? Now, this will all become explanatory. This is for every home, okay? It's very pretty. If you pass that to Harold and Rose, every home gets one of these. Every home. Thank you, Lord. Okay, two for you there. See, I do like technology, but I couldn't get my memory stick to work. And I just thought, this doesn't stop working. It's here. So bless you. Have a gift. This is for every home. Every home. Every home. There you go. I feel a bit like Father Christmas here. This is good. Oh? Another one. Sorry. I'm getting ahead of myself. There you go. Now you will notice as you look at this, these five Christian, cultural, biblical values are here. And they are in different colours. So you can differentiate between them. You take one, Juliana. There you go. I'll just let you have a look at those. Is there anyone who hasn't got one? Okay. Awesome. So I'll just let you soak in the excitement of receiving a gift. Now, you may or may have not noticed that there is a clear dynamic at play in these five biblical cultural values, each other's, that God expects of us. And so for the next 5 weeks, I'm going to be addressing each one in detail and going a bit deeper. But for today, I'm just opening the door on it and we're going to look at each one briefly. This clear dynamic, I wonder what it is. Love. Jesus says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Accept. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you. Accept each other just as Christ has accepted you, so that God will be given glory. Let the counsel, let the message about Christ and all its richness fill your lives. Teach and counsel each other with all the wisdom He gives. Forgive. Make allowance for each other's faults and forgive anyone who offends you. Remember, the Lord forgave you, so you must forgive others. Has anybody spotted the dynamic yet? As Christ loved you, you love others. As Christ accepted you, you accept others. Bring the wisdom to each other with the wisdom that He gives. And forgive one another as He has forgiven you. Now there's one there which isn't quite so clear. Paul writes, encourage each other and build each other up just as you are already doing. And you might think, how's that what we've received and how we give? The couple of verses before that, Paul writes, for God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with Him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing. Paul is encouraging them in that whether they are awake or asleep, they will be with Christ. So when you receive the revelation from God that whether you live or die, you're going to be with Christ, you actually become a walking encouragement to others. You need God to believe that whether you live or die, you will be with Christ. That's what Paul is doing. He's encouraging them to say, look, receive this revelation that whether you live or die, you're going to be with Christ. And so when you believe that, and you need God to believe that, you will be filled with courage and you'll actually be a walking encouragement. So that's the reception of God's encouragement there. And it's actually quite mad to suggest that we can do as people, as a church, what God expects of us without God. Martin Lloyd-Jones says in his teachings on the Beatitudes, he said, it's heresy to expect non-believers to engage in the Beatitudes because life in the Spirit requires the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit, engaging in the Beatitudes, you need the Spirit to do that. And so to think that you and I, without God, could love each other, accept each other, encourage each other, forgive each other, and counsel each other without God is just out there. We need the Lord. We need a life of dependence and yielding on Him to actually become a culture that I believe God is bringing, has been building in this congregation for years, and He wants to see it continually built and lifted up in us as people. We need God to do this. And it's a life of dependence. It's a life leaning on Him is crucial. Because Jesus prayed in what we call the Lord's Prayer. Let heaven come, as on earth, let heaven come. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And often we think about healing and perfection and we go for that, yes. But what about the attitudes and the culture in heaven of accepting each other? And forgiving each other. There's no unforgiveness in heaven. There's no bitterness in heaven. There's no rage in heaven. There's no anger in heaven. Sometimes I feel like we don't talk about those things. We want the glory of God, and of course, again, you know I love that. But I'm talking about like basic challenges of being a Christian, is that if we want heaven to come to earth, then we're going to have to know love, because there's no unloving behaviour in heaven. We're going to have to know forgiveness and acceptance and encouragement. There's no discouragement in heaven. Is there? It's not like in heaven it's just a little bit better than this. There just simply is no discouragement. So where do we start? Well, I believe we start at home. And that's why I've given everybody a frame and a picture, and you can put it up in your house. Because you and I can put on church masks, but it ain't going to work. Now, I remember when I started off in ministry, I was someone at church, and then I was someone else at home. Can anyone relate to that? Maybe? And I just remember thinking at church, I was always happy and energetic and positive, and I never got impatient with my wife or my children, and I was always this kind of Christian young guy who was just, and I was thinking everybody must think I'm like this perfect Christian because I was working so hard to be this perfect person at church. It's always polite, and I was never, and if ever I got angry, it would just be inside. I'd be like, oh, no, shut that down. But then when I got home, it was almost like I took my mask off. I was like, that was hard work, man. Now I'm going to have to start being myself. It's like a bit tired, a bit broken, negativity, a bit impatient, and all the rest of it. And over time, the Lord has brought those together. I remember him showing me, he says, you are a different person than you are at home than you are at church. And we're going to deal with that. And through his grace and forgiveness and through a life of learning to yield with him, he's just brought me into, and it's still an ongoing thing, where I want us to be ourselves at church. I believe the Lord wants us to be ourselves. And if ourselves really is truly loving, as we sang in the hymn, as Ray said, this is for now. You know, that the attitude we say, we're always going to be a bit unloving. We're always going to struggle with forgiveness. We're always going to struggle with accepting people. We're always going to struggle with receiving God's wisdom. We're always going to be slightly discouraging to each other until Jesus comes back. It's like an unbelief and an excuse. And it's challenging that the Lord actually says, look, listen, if you yield to me as a people, if you yield to me as a person, in your home, whatever your context, and you gather together and yield to me as a community, I will work through you that which I expect of you. I will cause you to become love. So you don't try to become love, you just are love. I will cause you to understand my acceptance of you. And I will cause you to become a person that is accepting. I will give you my wisdom. And I will cause you to teach people my wisdom. I will encourage you as a person, as a people, and I will cause you as a person and a family and a home and a church to be encouraging. It's just who you are. It's not something you're trying to do. And I will cause you to walk in your forgiveness. I will cause you to know you are forgiven. I will cause you to know you are forgiven as you know your name. Imagine that. How many of you wake up in the morning and spend half an hour questioning what your name is? So I wake up, so am I Paul? Am I Paul Riley? Am I? I'm not sure. Okay, I'll run to the mirror. There's a bit of paper that says, I am Paul Riley. I am Paul Riley. I am Paul Riley. By the time I get out of the shower, I think, am I Paul Riley? Am I really Paul Riley? No, I'm not sure. Could it be? No. Oh, yes, I am. Yes, it's Sunday morning. Yes, I'm Paul Riley. I'm Paul Riley. If I say it enough times, I'll become it. See, how many of us do that about our names? Imagine if God is calling us to know we are forgiven as much as we know our name. Could it be that this is for now? Could it be that you could know you are loved as you know your name? Could it be that you know you are accepted by Christ as you know your name? You don't question it. Could it be that you know you are encouraged by the truth that whether you live or die, you are in Christ, you will never be separated from the love of God? Could it be that we could live like that? Could it be that that could become a reality of who we are? And then wherever we go, whether it's church, home, workplace, school, wherever, we are this person because of what God has done in us. And when I start thinking about those things, you realise how much you depend on God. Because in our house, what we do is we get this, the little frame, and we choose a colour for each day. And we say, this is the day we are going to look at love. It doesn't mean we're not going to accept and encourage and that's just love. We're only going to love today. We're not going to accept. We obviously are aiming to lean on the Lord and allow Him to work those things through us. And we'll choose a colour and we'll say, okay, today we'll choose red. I'm going to really look to understand what it is to be loved. I'm going to walk around. I'm going to receive love. I'm going to know that Christ loves me. And I'm going to choose to love others as Christ has loved me. And it's sacrifice and choices and it's an act of the will. And that's what we're trying to generate that in my family. And I believe that's what the Lord is calling us to do. But it's also noted that sometimes at the end of the day, we look at what we didn't do very well. There was a day last week where me and Samoy had a mild disagreement about something. It does happen. And I remember at the end of the day, one of my children just turned around to me and said, he just looked at the frame and said, we didn't accept each other very well today, did we? And me and Samoy were just like, okay, that's us. And so it's not this perfection. What that demonstrated to us is how much we rely on Jesus. It demonstrates to me how much we rely on Jesus. How much we need Jesus. Because if you look at what God is expecting of us in those five each others, you can easily say, well, I can't do this. And actually it's true. We can't do this without God. We cannot become love without God. We cannot become a walking acceptance without God. So you may ask, how then do I practically allow God to perform this work through me? How do I actually allow God to perform this work through me? And we'll look at this over the coming weeks, but I think number one is obviously you become a Christian and you repent and you believe and you become baptized in water as a demonstration of what God has done inside, and then you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you go on being filled with the Holy Spirit. I think the Holy Spirit is who we rely on. He is the key here. Living a life of yielding to depend on the Spirit. I know sometimes at home there's a situation and I'll lean into these each others and say, Holy Spirit, help me. I'll lean in. It's like there's some acceptance needed here. Lord, there's some encouragement needed here. Okay, Lord, I need your encouragement. I'm feeling discouraged. Lord, would you encourage me? And now I need to engage in encouraging someone else. And all of that is a life being filled with the Holy Spirit. Because being filled with the Holy Spirit is standing there on a Sunday morning, having your people lay hands on you, being filled. But you can get filled by the Holy Spirit while you're frying an egg. Or you're making your breakfast, or you're walking to work, or you're on the bus. It's a position of the heart. You just yield to Him. Lord, I worship you. I give you all the glory. I worship you. I give you all the glory, Lord. I give you my life. I give you my mind. I give you my will. I give you my emotions. I mean, even now that's starting to feel special because Jesus is real. And oftentimes we're so scattered. We're so busy. It's hard for us to get into that position where we actually rest and give over those things which hinder our ability to receive these things for ourselves. As we yield to Jesus, yield to the Holy Spirit, we surrender to you, we worship you, give you all the glory, Lord. Lord, I see as an example, you see fear or anxiety about a situation rising. Say, Lord, I give that to you. And Mike Bickle talks about four ways to live this life. And it's not all like spiritually abiding stuff. He says it's time, money, eyes and mouth. And what you do with those four things is so crucial in a life in the Spirit. And actually one of the most crucial things is time. I know I sometimes feel like a broken record to myself and to others, but time spent with Jesus is so crucial. But the thing is, when you live a life yielding to Jesus, it becomes something you want to do. You want to spend time with Jesus. It doesn't become this massive disciplined effort that's just got to tick my quiet time. It becomes something you want to do. And you realise that the time you spend with him on your own actually starts overflowing where you are with him when you're out in the workplace. And you can actually lean on Jesus in the workplace. And he will work through you. So being filled with the Holy Spirit is huge. But the next one is, this is a principle that really helped me. This is awesome. When we understand the principle that we're always going to be learning, we're always going to be learning how to yield to God and have Holy Spirit work his purposes through us. This is not something we arrive at. This is something we're always going to be learning. And the reason we're always going to be learning is because Jesus is eternal. He's indescribable. And so when you lean on the Holy Spirit, you realise actually you're yielding yourself and having eternity work through you. And so do you ever reach that point where you are actually always loving, always, and you've learned the lesson, and then you don't need to go deeper? Because he's eternal, we don't ever stop learning. But that doesn't mean we can't be that person and engage in it. I remember when I went to Bible college, I thought that I would learn 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, now I know everything, 66 books, bang, let's run a church. And I realised I had more questions afterwards than I had before. But actually, a life yielding to Jesus allows us to live in peace while we're always learning. But he is working through us and teaching us. As we lean into his love, he works his love through us. As we lean into his acceptance, we begin to accept people that maybe we wouldn't have done before. Like the actual person, not always the behaviour, but the person. And it's not a rigid formula that says we receive God's love and they will receive. And then we give God's love to others. It's like, right, 1, 2, E equals MC squared. I receive his love, love to others. I receive his acceptance, acceptance. I receive his counsel, counsel. It's not like that. It's a flow. Jesus is a flowing, Holy Spirit is a flowing river. In Corinthians, Paul says, thank God for this gift, too wonderful for words. You and I have been given a gift in Christ that we don't have to strive in our own efforts to become what God has called us to be. It's not a case of you turning up at church and saying, right, you must love, accept, counsel, encourage and forgive now. This is it. Come on. It's not that. We've been given a gift that we can actually yield to God and he will work those things through us. And so I'd like to close with a prayer exercise. And you may remember in the past I've preached on something called trading. And essentially what that is, if you think about it in the scriptures, it says, for he who knew no sin was made to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God. And a lot of people call that the great divine exchange. So the Father made the Son to be sin that we might become the righteousness of God. There's a trade. A trade took place. Jesus became sin. We become the righteousness of God. I mean, how amazing is that? And actually engaging in that principle, you can actually, before the Lord, give him those things which hinder your ability to receive love. You can give him things that hinder your ability to receive his acceptance. You can give him things that hinder your ability to receive his encouragement. And so what we're going to do is we're going to lean into the Lord now. We're going to practice. So if you just want to just relax your shoulders, and Lord, we give you all the glory right now, Jesus. Holy Spirit, we yield to you. Lord, we thank you for who you are. Lord, we worship you. Lord, right now we give you our hearts afresh. Lord, you called us to worship in spirit and in truth. And Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray you'd empower us to give you our hearts as they are. Lord, we give you our brokenness. And we receive your love. Lord, we give you our anxiety. And we receive your peace. Lord, we give you our confusion. And we receive your clarity. Lord, we give those things which disable us in accepting people for being different than us, different to us, Lord, and we receive your acceptance. Lord, we give you the fear of death. And Lord, we receive from you the encouragement that whether we live or die, we are in Christ. And Lord, we give you our minds. Busy minds, overactive minds, panicking minds. Lord, and we position ourselves to receive your wisdom. Lord, we give to you our mistakes and sins. Times where we've fallen short, Lord, we give them to you right now. And we repent, Lord, we turn away from them and act. And we act by receiving your forgiveness. We thank you, Lord, in your word it says, if we confess our sins before you, you are faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. Lord, we receive your forgiveness now. And I thank you, Lord, that as we receive your forgiveness, the work of the Holy Spirit teaches us that we were always forgiven. Lord, we fight unloving behavior with the truth that you love us. Lord, we fight those things that disturb our inability to accept others for who they are. We fight that from a place of acceptance. Lord, we ask you to clear our minds that we might receive your wisdom and give. We would position ourselves to give others your wisdom, your counsel. Lord, we position ourselves before you to know your forgiveness. Lord, I thank you that forgiveness means to release. Lord, we release those who have hurt us right now. If there's any names or people that come into your heart as you're thinking about forgiving, just release them to the Lord. Lord, that's what forgiveness is, you release. Lord, I release this person, I release that person to you. And I ask you to bless them. Thank you, Holy Spirit. And what's happening in those moments is God is gardening your heart. He's actually gardening your heart. As you yield to Him and you give Him those things that are causing you to be challenged to receive love, you give Him those things and He's weeding your heart. It's amazing. And so I hope you've been encouraged today. I hope that you would take that frame home. And I would say put it on top of your TV, but they don't make TVs anymore that you can put things on top of. It just go down the back now. I'm going to share this. I felt the Lord, I just closed with this. I felt the Lord talking about how He's building things here. And I confess that I've been frustrated at times when I've been here. It's like, Lord, why aren't we seeing all these things that I'm expecting? And I said, that's because I'm building. And He's building. It's not us as leaders or a church. He's building things. And it's like I was expecting the finished house without the foundations. Now, I know there's already foundations here, but just thinking about translating this to our lives, are there things that we're expecting the full building without thinking about the foundations? And it's like the foundations don't get any glory. Do they? It's like if you see an amazing house, no one goes, that's an amazing house, look at the foundations. You can't see the foundations. And many of you, if not all of you, will know Ted Costello, who was the architect of this building. And he actually built this building, if I'm right, he built this building preparing for growth on top. So he actually built it to prepare for extra growth. And so he built something preparing for growth. And that's what I believe God is doing. We might not always see it in numbers and in the natural, but I believe that's part of the work that God is continuing to do, building us, and because we're His church, we're His people. And He's building us up as people. He's calling us to go deeper into Him, that we might actually become these values in preparation for something, which sometimes I wish God would tell us everything that's going to happen. But He doesn't, out of His grace and mercy. So I'm just going to close in prayer. Lord, I thank you for each and every heart in this room. I thank you for the gardening work that you've done this morning. Lord, I pray that you would bless each and every heart as they look at these cultural biblical values, Lord, that your Spirit work in amongst hearts and homes and families and workplaces as a result, Lord. And I thank you for all the building and all the future looking and the diligence, Lord, that's been going on in this fellowship for over 100 years. And Lord, we just choose to yield to your purposes for what you are building. Lord, let us lay aside our own agendas and lean into your agenda for this place. Because Lord, you said, unless you build it, we're labouring in vain. So I pray, Lord, you refresh us, fill us, continue to fill us, continue to remind us who we are in you, and remind us that you are Lord. In Jesus' name. Amen.